Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Mimiverse Monthly Audiocast. I am your host, writer-director Christopher R. Mim, and I have to ask, are you there? Are you listening? Are you feeling okay? Are you doing okay? How are you? What a difference a month makes. I guess we should just start out for posterity's sake for when I post this on the internet for future use. It is April 1st, 2020. Smack dab in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. And things got weird real quick, didn't they? Let's just throw that out there. Things got weird real quick. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're staying safe. From me to you, from my family to yours, I hope you're making do with the insanity that is our world. Obviously, a few things have happened since the last time we spoke. This virus has spread across the globe. Shit got strange real fast. I had to swear there for effect. Because I'll tell you right now, I didn't see any of this coming. And I certainly didn't expect things to get like this. Normally, if things were just humming along the way they were, I would have been talking about how at the end of this month, we would be premiering The Phantom Lake Kids in The Beast Walks Among Us. Needless to say, we will not be doing that this month. Out of necessity, obviously. I live in Minnesota, which is where we're having the world premiere. And we are currently under a stay-at-home advisory. And all movie theaters and stuff are shut. So we can't have the premiere, understandably. And honestly, with the danger of getting a bunch of people together in a room to watch a movie, I wouldn't be holding it anyway. Because I wouldn't want to put you at risk. My family, myself, I mean, it doesn't make sense. And I know you understand. Because we're all going through this insanity together in our own weird separate ways. And that's one of the strange things about this for me, is that we are all going through this together, but apart. Which is strange. Because there is a solidarity there. We're all experiencing this thing. Stuck in our own little worlds and homes, which is fine. If you can stay home, stay home. If you're an essential worker, be safe, be smart. And I do want to say for all of you out there who are working on the front lines of this crisis, our healthcare workers, our doctors and nurses, thank you from the bottom of my heart. There are no words that can adequately express the gratitude that we all feel for you fine folks for helping people in this unprecedented time. From me to you, and from my family to you, and from, I'm imagining, everyone who enjoys my films to you, thank you. You're truly the best of us.
And to all the
essential workers who are still going to work and making sure that we can still get groceries and stuff. I think we all as a society need to step back and realize that those fine folks who are still working and putting themselves in touch with lots of people when you really shouldn't be, those people deserve a lot more respect than they get. So tip people, tip delivery drivers more than you normally would. And if you normally don't, which you should, tip them a bunch. They deserve it because they are doing a service while we all wait for this to play out. And no one knows how it's going to play out. And we all know that. So let's just keep it together. So far, I'm pretty impressed by how well the people of the world have come together. As a guy who makes movies for a living, I've talked about how I struggle with the idea of what I do as being important. And I will say it is not as important as doctors and nurses who are out there fighting this firsthand. What I do is not as important as someone in the military or even someone who's working at a grocery store right now. But sometimes, because I'm always sort of struggling with the idea of what is the worth and value of entertainment, I'm starting to see that there is some value to entertainment, especially at times like these, because entertainment can bring you comfort. It can help you pass the days and pass the time. And I realize that in times like these, it is important to the overall general mental welfare of the citizenry of the world. So if I'm trying to take something away from all this, it's that Every one of us is doing our part, however small, to keep the human spirit alive. And I know that you are too. I know you're doing your part, right? You're either working and helping people, keeping the wheels turning, as I said, or fighting the disease on the front lines, or just keeping people safe, or keeping people informed. Or maybe you're like Steve Sullivan, my good friend, the author who wrote Canoe Cops versus the Mummy, who is out there entertaining people to give them something to do, to give them something to just take your mind off some of these things. Sometimes escapism is important to maintaining your sanity. And that is the point of arts and entertainment. Because without it, being a human being would suck. What would life be without art, without books and movies and music? It'd be horrible. Everyone plays a role in the human experience. At least what I'm doing, I guess, feels positive. However small. And I genuinely hope that while you're just hanging out, if you're just hanging out or you find yourself with excess time, you maybe binge watch a few Mimiverse movies. I still suggest you do it on Amazon because I do still get a few cents from it per hour, which is not great, but it is what it is. Otherwise, you can watch the Drive-In Monsters Roku channel or your Blu-rays or DVDs. It all helps keep the Mimiverse alive. And if you like the Mimiverse, which I'm guessing you do, seeing as you're listening to me ramble on in this audio cast, thank you for choosing to spend your time with my little universe. I have so many good ideas, or at least back up. I have so many ideas for stuff I want to do within the Mimiverse. And life is short. It's too short to be unhappy. It's too short to not watch monster movies, right? Be happy. Watch monster movies. Particularly of the Mimiverse brand. So, how are you doing? How are things? Are you keeping sane? I generally am. The family's all here in St. Euphoria Studios, as it's known, which is also AKA my house. Kids are all doing distance learning from home. My wife, Stephanie, who is the queen of snakes by night, but a teacher by day, is distance teaching. We're getting by. We're making it work. Obviously, sadly, we have to postpone the Phantom Lake Kids and the Beast Walks Among Us world premiere. I'll tell you right now, as of this instant, it's going to be September or October when I release it. God knows what's going to happen, but I'm saying September, October now to be somewhat optimistic. I don't want to release it in the summer because people get busy. And as the curves flatten, you've heard undoubtedly about the flattening the curve. And as the curves start to trend downward, I know people are still going to be cautious about leaving their house. So I'm going to give it a little extra space to make sure that people feel comfortable. But also, we're not sure how this is going to go. No one seems to really know. So even then, that may be too early. And if that's the case, some of the contingency plans outside of doing a premiere in September or October, even November if we have to. Worst case, if we just can't get a physical premiere together, my plan is that I am going to release it digitally for a 48-hour period. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. People can then watch it at home. And then once it's released that way, we will still do a physical premiere that'll kind of end up being the DVD release party. And that may just end up being in 2021. I want to make sure, because the movie is done and ready to go. I mean, everything's ready to go. I'm literally staring at the premiere tickets on my desk that I can't send to anybody. They have the wrong date on them, but I figure when people do get them, they become kind of a collector's item in the fact that they have the wrong date on them because April 29th falls within the window of the 2020 coronavirus pandemic. I just want to make sure that I keep my releasing one movie a year alive. I've been doing it since 2006 when the Monster Phantom Lake came out, and I don't want that gap in there. I don't want it to suddenly be 2019, 2021. And this is just how it goes, right? I mean, I'm lamenting this. People are dealing with much worse than this, but it's funny that of all my movies, this is the one I've been the most excited to release, and it's the one that I can't release yet, which is frustrating, but regardless, it will have some sort of release in 2020. Fingers crossed that everything goes well and we can still do just a regular old world premiere like we were doing in the past. I mean, three of the movies, Where Skeeto through Guns of the Apocalypse, were released in the fall, and they did just fine, so there's nothing wrong there. Plus, then you only have to wait probably 6 months for the next one. Speaking of which, That Which Lurks in the Dark has become what I'm starting to think of as the cursed Mimiverse film. I originally wrote that in November of 2018 and planned to shoot it in 2019. Well, I could never get the scheduling together to actually shoot it. And as a result, I ended up writing The Phantom Lake Kids and The Beast Walks Among Us, and then shooting it, and then editing it. I mean, this is the thing, is like, That Which Lurks in the Dark has been like pulling teeth to get together. It really has. I write the Phantom Lake Kids movie, and literally, it comes together in a matter of weeks. I started writing it in March of 2019, and then boom, we're shooting it, and we finish the first weekend of September, and finished editing it in November. That has got to be one of the shortest production windows that we've ever done. But it all just came together. Conversely, That Which Lurks in the Dark has been nothing but difficult. Whereas this one was just breezy and easy. And now I can't release it until the fall or for a couple days around Christmas. It's okay. It really is. I really want to get it out to you guys. So, That Which Lurks in the Dark has been postponed again. I mean, we finally did start shooting it, so that was nice. We've shot a third of the film, but that's as far as it goes. We had to shut it down for obvious reasons. We can't really be traveling around and sticking us all together, and there's no reason to push it. There's no reason to be selfish and do this. So I have temporarily halted production of that. The other thing that sucks is, as a result, I was also forced to halt production of the Mimiverse Holiday Special. For as much as most of that involves just my family working on it, because it involves the Steve puppets and the Johnson family and all that stuff, other people did have to be involved. The script calls for bringing in other actors and too many people. And then, with all the confusion and just having to push that aside, all the snow has melted, and there were a couple scenes that are shot outside with snow, and we were planning to get to those before all this started to kind of fall apart and get crazy, and then all the snow just disappeared, and it's been pleasant outside, but there's no snow, so we can't actually shoot those scenes. So I grew this Santa beard for nothing. Well, not for nothing. I mean, I at least look like a scary hermit, which keeps people away and helps with the whole social distancing thing, so I guess that's a win. Yeah, so things got pushed around, and the Mimiverse Holiday Special has been postponed to holiday season 2021. Which sucks, because I had this all scheduled out, so it was going to work. In the grand scheme, it's really not the end of the world. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff going on that feels like the end of the world that is not, oh no, I have to postpone production of my holiday special. So, the two productions currently that were going had to be temporarily halted and postponed. So that sucks. If you've been paying attention at all to the Saint Euphoria social media or the Saint Euphoria website, or you just have an idea of the kind of person I am, you know I'm not one to just sit around and do nothing. In fact, I don't know how to sit around and do nothing. I'm very antsy. I'm a little ADHD and I need to keep busy. And the only thing I can hyper-focus on in life is making movies. So, when everything got shut down and I started thinking about, what am I going to do? What should I do? I came up with an idea for a movie that I'm calling the Quarantine Movie, that I talked to my kids, since my kids are the Phantom Lake Kids. I asked them, hey, you guys want to make a movie just here in the house? It'd be about invisible aliens. And they're all like, yes, let's do that. Because, you know, they can't go see their friends. They can't really do anything. So they were up for anything. You know, we actually had a lot of fun shooting The Phantom Lake Kids and The Beast Walks Among Us. And so they were really like, what are we doing next? What are we doing next? And they were all a bit sad that they weren't necessarily included in what was coming next. And so when I offered the idea that we could always make a movie while we're socially distancing here in the house, they were all for it. So we started talking about ideas. We threw some ideas around for the plot, the creatures, and we came up with something, and I just finished writing it. Pre-production has already begun, and we're taking contributions. If you'd like to contribute to the new film, it is called The Phantom Lake Kids in The Unseen Invasion. It's a little bit of an allegory about all the things we're dealing with right now, but adding a 1950s B-movie twist to it all. Here's the thing. You guys have not seen The Beast Walks Among Us, so you don't really know the tone of it. And I keep saying over and over again, it's fun, it's fun, it's fun. It really is. It's just lighthearted as hell. It's funny. It's silly. It's a little screwball. It's a little wacky. There's some goofiness in it. If you've ever seen some of the beach party movies from back in the 60s, the Frankie Avalon, Annette Funicello, that whole series, and not just the beach party movies, but like Pajama Party and Ski Party and all those, you know there's a goofy sense of wackiness underneath it all. There's a lot of that in the Phantom Lake Kids in The Beast Walks Among Us. There's a lot of that underneath it all. They're just meant to be lighthearted and, which I already said, and goofy and fun and funny and stupid in a good way, right? Stupids. Sorry, we revisited all of the beach party movies here when this whole thing started, and we had basically a week's worth of just watching beach party style movies and the other couple that came out of that era. And it heavily influenced a lot of things here going forward. And we realized as we started talking about making this quarantine movie, The Unseen Invasion, that we wanted to do something that is just purely wacky, goofy stupidness. And a little touch of Little Rascals, The Three Stooges. So we've been having a lot of fun, the kids and I, in putting together this script for The Unseen Invasion. And I just did a second pass through the script, because I usually do a rough draft and then I'll go through and just make sure that as I wrote it, things didn't change or suddenly I'm referencing things that maybe didn't happen or whatever. I mean, I write usually from beginning to end. I write somewhat stream of consciousnessly, where I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen next, and I'll write a chunk and then step away from it and think about what to do next, and then go back and make changes and move things around, and I'll finish a rough draft, you know, just sort of barrel through that first draft, and then I'll go back through and make changes, update things. Sometimes I write pretty fast. I wrote pretty fast on this one because I really didn't have much else to do with my work time, so I wrote a lot, and I finished my script, and second draft is done, and honestly, I'll probably go once more through it and see if anything stands out or needs to be changed. But the plan is, next 7 to 14 days, we're going to start shooting this thing. Since the kids have nowhere to go, and I don't necessarily have anywhere to go, we should be able to get this shot pretty quickly, since we're shooting it all here at my house. I honestly think that it's going to take longer to clean some of the parts of my house we're going to use than to actually shoot there. So, pretty cool, pretty cool. So that's coming together. Now, I hate to beg for contributions during this time, because I know a lot of you folks out there are struggling during this. Some of you have been laid off or are not getting paid, and so I'm not necessarily talking to you folks. If you are a person who has some money laying around, or perhaps wants to contribute to the arts, I ask that you contribute to The Phantom Lake Kids in The Unseen Invasion, partially because part of the reason I'm doing this movie is because as a working artist, I am taking a hit during this time. When everything kind of fell apart here in the U.S., I was down in Dallas, Texas for AllCon, which is one of my favorite events I do every year. It's my favorite con to do. I do it every year. And I went down there on Wednesday. It's a Thursday through Sunday con. I went down there Wednesday night. And the next day, got up, and Thursday, the convention was open. I went down to the table. We were setting up and selling stuff and talking to people. And the nervousness of everything happening was definitely there. Attendance was not where it normally is because lots of people were staying home. Some people were like, still the mindset it didn't matter, would be fine. It's not that bad, you know, that kind of stuff. The reality hadn't really set in. And so Thursday, I worked the dealer's room at my table and didn't shake any hands. We're doing what we always called the curling five. We call it the curling five because, as you know, I'm a curler. I have a curling team. My family's on my curling team. And Mark Hader, who plays General Castle, is on the curling team, the Rock Monsters. And we always do this thing. When you cross each other on the ice, you're usually holding a broom. So when you give someone five, you just sort of bump elbows because then you don't have to, like, futz with your broom. It's just boom and keep walking. Giving a lot of curling fives. I was selling some stuff. Did an episode of the I Love That Movie podcast. We did an episode about The Creature from the Black Lagoon. I highly recommend you check out the I Love That Movie podcast. We also did a recording about the movie Them, which is the movie about the giant ants. That is one of my absolute favorites from the 1950s. So we recorded that as the convention was supposed to be ramping up for the evening's parties. And after I recorded that, I went back to my room and was just sort of watching the news and watching the world fall apart, sort of. And I noticed on Facebook, people started posting about how AllCon was being shut down. And I was like, what? But I'm at AllCon. I'm here. I'm in my room. So I went down and found the staff, the people who run it. They're having a meeting and they pulled me in too. And they're like, okay, well, Dallas County is shutting down all events with more than 500 people. So we have to shut down. And there was a lot of discussion about what they're going to do. And it's just really, it's really weird and kind of intense. And in the end, they made the right decision to shut it down. I mean, it's not a humongous convention, but they get several thousand people. And they thought maybe we could still have the event if we just limit the number of people who can be in a space at any given time. But it's so impossible to police that with the people coming and going and all the entrances and exits to the vendor rooms and the panel rooms and the screening rooms. It's just, it's impossible. Plus, do you want to be that event that the county says shut it down, you say screw you and do it anyway, and then what if someone does get sick? I mean, it's just, no, they did the right thing, they shut it down. So here I was, just stuck in Dallas for several days. I wasn't coming back until Sunday night. And so I just kind of hung out in my room. I tried to call the airline to see if I could get my flight pushed up, because this is Thursday night, right? And so I tried getting a hold of the airline, and it was impossible. I finally, at about 3 in the morning, so this is Friday morning, 3 in the morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, however you want to think of that, I called the airline and got a thing saying, there is currently a very long wait, in excess of like 6 hours. Leave your name, and we will call you back as soon as your name comes up. They finally called me back Saturday at 2 in the morning. So almost 24 hours later, they were finally able to get to me. And I talked to the ticketing agent and just said, you know, is there a way to move it up? And they're like, well, the kind of ticket you have, we can't move it without you having to pay for something. And I'm like, well, I don't really want to pay for it. Because I did have a place to be. And I had a place to sort of quarantine myself in a hotel room and just take it easy. And then fly home Sunday night. My big worry, though, was that the way things were going, I was like, well, what if they start canceling flights? Well, then how the hell do I get home? And I actually called my wife in Minnesota and said, look, worst case scenario, someone's going to have to literally drive down to Dallas and pick me up. Steph didn't really want to do that. That's a long drive. It's 15 hours. So we had our contingency plans, and the con was very good to me. And this is another reason I love AllCon. They were very good to me. They flat out said, look, if your flight gets canceled, we'll rent you a car so you can just drive home if you have to. So that was cool. Luckily, it didn't get canceled. I just took it easy and mostly avoided people, watched way too much of the news, and then when that got too depressing, watched weird random movies like The Matrix Reloaded, which still not a great sequel. That's a different discussion. Finally, Sunday night, I was able to get on the flight and get home. And this was strange. I mean, just like that, you know, and I know you have your own stories of what it was like. And we will all have some really interesting stories when it's all over. But the flight home, I had an entire row to myself. And I really wasn't near anybody. It was strange. I mean, it was just an empty flight. And I was perfectly fine with that. There was one guy in the back of the plane who was like coughing. And of course, everyone's like, dear God, no. But you could kind of tell that the guy just had like some sort of issue with his lungs. I mean, he was an older gentleman. He was a larger guy. And he just, it didn't sound like a dry cough. It didn't sound like a dry, unproductive cough. It sounded way too productive, if that makes sense. Which was mostly unpleasant, but you know, he was like the first guy on the plane because he needed help getting on the plane, and he's probably just trying to get the hell home during all this and like, you know, hunker down. He was just like kind of hocking up bunch of loogies for the first, I don't know, 20 minutes of the flight, and then he stopped. And I feel really bad for the guy, because I know everyone around him was probably pretty nervous, and even me, I mean, it was, you know, nerve-wracking, but I feel bad for the guy, because I don't think, I never got the impression that, like, he was sick so much as he just had maybe a condition. So I got back, and from there, I started the countdown of, like, okay, 14 days, if I had no symptoms, I should be fine. And so 2 weeks after the Thursday when it started, I was like, okay, I'm out from that. 14 days, we're good. And then it was like, now I just need to get to 14 days out from my last flight. And I passed that milestone too. So we're all good here. Like I said, we're all doing well. Nothing's come up yet. We're all remaining healthy and social distancing the way you all should. And keeping busy by making a movie. So long story there, but the point is, after AllCon, I had a lot of great events set up. We had a screening at the Lake 5 Theater in Forest Lake, which is an event we do all the time. I was supposed to be a guest at WillyCon in Wayne, Nebraska, which I was really looking forward to. Just this past weekend, that got canceled. The premiere got canceled, which that's a financial hit. I mean, I budget that in every year because we always do really well, and a lot of the money that I slowly invest in the making of these films, I get some of that back, right? So it's kind of a push and pull. And so I'm taking a bit of a financial hit with not being able to do events. In addition to making movies and selling movies and stuff, going to events, going to screenings and conventions and meeting people and selling DVDs and posters and stuff is part of the business plan to keep the Mimiverse going. Not being able to do that, it's making it a little more difficult. So if you have the means and want to contribute to the quarantine film, the quarantine picture, it would greatly help keep the Mimiverse alive. These are trying times for all of us. And as an artist, I don't have any real job security. And that's on me, honestly. I choose to do this. I have skills. I have marketable skills as a computer programmer and a graphic designer. I could totally go out and probably get a quote-unquote real job in the corporate sector. And I've chosen instead to do this. So I know a lot of that is on me. But if you like my movies and you want to help out, honestly, if you just want to see this movie get made and finished, please contribute. Go to SaintEuphoria.com, and under the Films tab, there is a list item for The Unseen Invasion. Feel free to contribute if you can. I'm mixing it up a little bit with this one. I'm doing it a little differently, partially because we're getting to a point now where not everybody wants physical media, and that's just reality. That's how it's going. That's how it works, and that's cool. And people have access to streaming or downloading them from Vimeo or whatever. So I'm changing it up. In the past, it was $25 and you get the credit and the certificate and a copy of the movie on DVD. Well, not everybody wants DVDs anymore. And some people want Blu-rays. And some people don't want either. They just want to see the movie made and get their name in it. So going forward, and I'm just going to do this from this point forward, starting with this movie, everything is split out into a la carte items. That actually has reduced the cost of a single credit. Now it's just $20. Even, you get a credit and a certificate, and then you can order DVDs or Blu-rays, premiere tickets. Because see, there's the thing. With The Beast Walks Among Us, it was $25 and everyone got a DVD. And I actually contacted everyone who contributed and asked them, did you want a Blu-ray instead of a DVD? And since Blu-rays are much more expensive to produce and therefore sell for more, I made it where if you had contributed enough to get two DVDs, you can combine those DVDs into one Blu-ray. Or if you had only given the basic $25, for $10 more, you can upgrade to a Blu-ray. So a lot of folks took me up on that. So I realized that at this point, Blu-rays are as equally popular as DVDs. So now was the time to make it so that if you just want a Blu-ray and no DVD at all, you can just order it when you contribute. So that's what I've done. If you don't want a DVD or a Blu-ray, and you just want to see the movie get made, and then you plan to watch it on Amazon or Roku or whatever it's on, or Vimeo, by the time it's released, you can do that. And it's cheaper. You just pay for the credit, and you still get the cool certificate. But if you also want to own it on physical media, you can, in essence, pre-order it, And one thing this helps me with is then, because physical media is on the way out and fewer people want it, it allows me to get a better idea of how much I actually need to have in stock. Right now, I have quite a few copies of Queen of Snakes and Guns of the Apocalypse because I have basically more than I needed for when I ordered them. So this gives me a better idea of maybe I need more Blu-rays than DVDs or an equal number, that kind of a thing. So this is going to streamline the process, which helps a lot in keeping the Mimiverse alive. Because then I'm not needlessly spending money on things that will sit in the warehouse for God knows how long, right? So that's part of the reasoning. Also to cut off the need for me to contact people after the fact and be like, A, do you even want a DVD? B, do you want Blu-rays instead? So please, contribute to the Phantom Lake Kids in the Unseen Invasion, because that right now is kind of the only way that we can keep the lights on for right now. Every little bit helps. It really does. Plus, the money you contribute kind of goes to feeding the kids in the movie. I mean, that's really what it comes down to, keeping this thing rolling. But then, with the uncertainty of not knowing what's coming and what's going and what's happening in the world or how long this is going to last, this keeps at least the one a year movie thing happening. And damn it, I'm going to finish That Which Lurks in the Dark, but I can't shoot it probably until the fall at the earliest. So I got some downtime right now, and I want to shoot a movie because I just finished one that I can't wait to release. And should we be unable to release The Beast Walks Among Us this year in an actual movie theater? Like I said, I'll release it for 48 hours on Christmas. But if that happens, the plan is to do a double feature premiere of the Phantom Lake Kids movies. And we'll see. Who knows? We'll try to remain as optimistic as we can. I just know that as long as I'm making movies and the kids are having a good time doing it, it'll give us something to focus on while we wait for the storm to pass. So that's what's going on in the Mimiverse and in the world at large. Again, for posterity's sake, these kinds of things will be interesting to listen to in 10, 20, 30 years. Yeah, keeping busy. Still making movies. Keeping the Mimiverse rolling. I hope you're doing well. I really do. If you're having trouble, reach out. Talk to people. The internet's a beautiful thing. Even if you want to talk to me, find me on Facebook and say hi. I don't mind chatting. If you just need to chat, I'm here. Talk to me. This month, I decided not to write a cheesy poem. Something about it felt just not right, given the gravity of things. And I feel like just, for as silly as my poems are, the character of the person who writes them, the poet character that I play, the arrogance of that guy just felt like he needed to stay gone for a month. So there is no poem this month. However, Rich Chamberlain has a new Kansas City crypt for us, so we'll be throwing it off to him pretty soon. And then Dr. Bob Tesla of Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob has a new joke, so that's nice. So stay safe, be good, help out those who you can help, stay healthy as much as you can, and know that together we will get through this thing. And if you're feeling down or feeling a little stir-crazy, I wouldn't mind it if you took a little trip to Phantom Lake County and enjoyed a goofy monster movie or 14. I appreciate you. I really do. All of you. And for as difficult as this is, we can do it. We can make it. And we will. When it's all over and said and done, every time I see every single one of you, as long as we're all cleared for this, I'm going to hug all of you. Because I cannot wait to see all of you again. And in the meantime, I'll just keep making movies. Cheesy, fun, ridiculous movies. So for now, I'm going to turn it over to Rich Chamberlain. And then after that, I have a few more words, and then we'll turn it over to Dr. Bob. So for now, take it away, Mr. Chamberlain.
Hey everyone, this is Richard the Monster Movie Kid, and it's time for another edition of the Kansas City Crypt. Now it's April, and originally we were going to be just weeks away from the world premiere of the next film in the Mimiverse, The Phantom Lake Kids and The Monster Walks Among Us. Unfortunately, the monster won't be walking among us now until probably later this year. But that doesn't mean we still can't get some monster goodness in our lives. And so if the monster isn't walking among us, I figured the monster might be on the campus. Yeah, I know, the whole social distancing thing. The monster shouldn't be anywhere but at home, but I'm not sure I remember seeing a monster sitting at home kind of movie. I'm sure there probably is if I would have looked harder, but I went ahead and took a look back at the 1958 flick Monster on the Campus from Universal. Now, I think we all agree, the 30s and 40s, that's the real heyday of Universal horror films. By the 50s, the horror films were kind of taking a back seat to the sci-fi films, and with a few exceptions like Creature from the Black Lagoon or maybe The Incredible Shrinking Man, a lot of Universal's output in the 1950s was definitely B-movie fare. In some cases, maybe even a little less. Monster on the Campus is one of those films that actually is a fairly polished film, but it's definitely stuck in that B category bordering on a C. It's not that great of a film, but it's just good enough that it can entertain you for the hour and 17-minute running time. Now, the movie, of course, has Jack Arnold as a director, so immediately you know you're getting at least something that's going to be above average. Jack Arnold was the man behind The Creature from the Black Lagoon. As the director of that classic, of course, that led him to doing Revenge of the Creature and a whole slew of other films in the 1950s, like Tarantula, The Incredible Shrinking Man, The Space Children, and, of course, 1958's Monster on the Campus. Not necessarily one of his finer moments. You've got a fairly good writer in the form of David Duncan. He wrote the screenplay. When you look at his credits, he doesn't have a lot, only 23. Nonetheless, there's some pretty impressive credits. The Monster That Challenged the World, The Black Scorpion, The Time Machine, The Leech Woman, the Human Factor episode of The Outer Limits, the adaptation of Fantastic Voyage in 1966. So yeah, there's some pretty good credits there. And when you look at the cast, again, not that bad of a cast. Arthur Franz, of course, headed up the cast as the main character, Professor Donald Blake. Donald Blake, of course, is the one who acquires a specimen of a prehistoric fish. And, well, of course, it accidentally bites him because he's holding it by the mouth with the sharp teeth. That's a brilliant move, of course. And that, in turn, essentially, he gets himself infected and turns into a Neanderthal man and goes around killing people. You've got also mutant dragonflies running around. Interesting premise. Definitely pushing the boundaries of logic and science. So you know my wife Carla, who is definitely a science nerd, had a bit of a hard time adjusting to the idea. But she went with it. She was pretty good-natured on this one. Of course, there was a lot of logic thrown out the window here. And we didn't really get great special effects either. I got to say, when looking at the credits to figure out, well, who did the special effect work, as far as the mask, because that's really what it was. I mean, the Neanderthal man really was nothing more than a mask. I was a bit surprised when I saw that Bud Westmore was the makeup artist. I wasn't that impressed. It really did look like nothing more than a Halloween mask. It really wasn't that believable, at least in some of the shots. There were some shots that it looked better than others. Ultimately, I don't think it was one of the best work that the Westmores or Universal, for that matter, put out. When you talk about Professor Blake, of course, Arthur Franz, I think he did a great job in the role. He was believable as the college professor, and I thought his transformation sequences, and I think they were handled fairly well. Actually, probably one of the better parts of this film. A very impressive 152 credits to his name, including a few films that you might know, such as Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man or Flight to Mars. He was also in The Caine Mutiny with Humphrey Bogart. So yeah, some pretty good credits to his name. Monster on the Campus, probably not the highlight of his career, but for some of you, might be one of the only films of his that you've actually seen. Flight to Mars is a decent film worth checking out, and of course, I love Abbott and Costello, and Abbott and Costello Meet the Invisible Man, a fairly good entry in their monster series. Joanna Moore, of course, was the lovely Madeline Howard, his girlfriend, fiance. I think I couldn't quite get if it was just a girlfriend or fiance. They were certainly talking long-term commitments. Joanna Moore has 90 credits to her name and a lot of television work. I'm looking at what she was doing dating back to the 1950s. But she is noteworthy for a classic film. She was part of the cast, not one of the main stars, but she was part of the classic Touch of Evil in 1958, the Charlton Heston Orson Welles classic. And if you're a modern disaster movie fan, you might have seen her in the cast of The Hindenburg in 1975. And of course, the ever-present Whit Bissell, a name that if you're a monster horror fan, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Whit Bissell, you know exactly who he is. One of the all-time best character actors playing the role of Dr. Oliver Cole. Whit Bissell, of course, was in just about everything that was good. it was fun to see him in, admittedly a smaller role, but certainly a lot of fun. And of course, Troy Donahue might be a face or a name that might be familiar to you as well. He played Jimmy Flanders, who was the college student trying to get his dog back. Of course, Troy Donahue would go on to become a heartthrob at one point and starred in over 100 movies. And was in he was a teen heartthrob, certainly. By the 1960s, for example, I know he was in the show Surfside 6. He was in Hawaiian Eye, very well-known television character actor. I would say that Monster on the Campus is not a classic. It's certainly worth checking out, though. If you're making your way through the Universal horror flicks, there's going to be a lot of other films you're going to see before you get to these. If you watch them chronologically, which is a kind of an interesting way of going about it, I don't think I've ever approached it that way, but it would be fun if you watched all the Universal horror and sci-fi films from the 30s, 40s, and 50s in a chronological order, because I think you could see kind of the progression and maybe the slight decline of the studio over the course of those three decades. By the time you get to the late 1950s, Universal, their output was kind of petering out. Monster on the Campus was one of the last films. Not surprisingly, that when this film was released on home video, it was also one of the last films. I don't think this movie was ever given an official VHS release, but it did get an official DVD release. In fact, it had a couple of DVD releases. It originally was in the Classic Sci-Fi Ultimate Collection, which is a nice set, volumes 1 and 2. And I personally think it's the best way to get this film. Now, I have to acknowledge that, yes, the movie has been released, I believe, by Shock Factory. Shout Factory. It's out there. It's $20, though, for the Blu-ray. I know a lot of people, they just automatically upgrade every classic movie that comes out on Blu-ray. And, yeah, the picture's probably never been better. But this movie isn't even 90 minutes long, and $20 for 80 minute flick, closer to a 75 minute movie. And I don't know if it's really going to be worth the upgrade. I'm not going to go ahead and get the Blu-ray because, having rewatched the DVD, I thought the picture quality was absolutely fine. So you can pay $20 for the Blu-ray if you want, or you can still find the Classic Sci-Fi Ultimate Collection, volumes 1 and 2 together, for $40. So for twice the price, you can get 10 times the movies. Because in addition to Monster on the Campus, for $40, you're also going to get Tarantula, The Mole People, The Incredible Shrinking Man, The Monolith Monsters, Dr. Cyclops, Cult of the Cobra, The Land Unknown, The Deadly Mantis, and The Leech Woman. Yeah, there's a couple in there that maybe aren't B-quality films. There are a few stinkers in there, admittedly, but there's also a lot of great flicks. 10 movies for $40, that's a good price. But again, if you want to seek out the Blu-ray, it's out there for $20. And again, it's going to be probably the best this film has ever looked and will probably ever look. I do recommend Monster on the Campus. Basically, Neanderthal man running around the campus, attacking people. And there is definitely kind of an interesting end to it. I'll warn you, maybe not the happy ending that you're looking for, Carla and I watched this on a Saturday night as part of a triple feature, and besides Monster on the Campus, we watched The Incredible Shrinking Man, and of course, a film that I had been dying to introduce her to, 1965's The Beast from the Beginning of Time, which was a film made in Wichita, never was commercially available, but it's out there. If you hunt enough of that film, you'll find it. Nonetheless, all three films, none of them had a real good happy ending. It was an interesting night. She's one that loves happy endings. She loves monster flicks, loves sci-fi movies. Didn't quite get it with those three. Nonetheless, she did enjoy the movies, and she did enjoy Monster on the Campus as I did. So it is a recommendation, as we are all sitting at home right now, doing our part, staying at home, social distancing. If you're like me, us monster kids, yeah, we've got more books and more movies than we know what to do with. This is a perfect time to kind of hunker down, get out and enjoy the spring weather, get some fresh air, but don't feel guilty if you stay home and watch some movies, because that's exactly what we should be doing right now. Not sure how long this is going to last. Could go on for a few months. I'm certainly set, and I think you will be too. But if you are seeking out some new material, I'd recommend Monster on the Campus. It's a fun flick. Not a classic, but it's not a bad way to spend about 80 minutes of your time on maybe a rainy Saturday afternoon. Until next time, this is Richard, the Monster Movie Kid.
Thank you, Mr. Chamberlain. Before I go, please go to SaintEuphoria.com. Contribute to The Unseen Invasion. Maybe pre-order the Beast Walks Among Us DVD or Blu-ray if you didn't already contribute. Watch the movies on Amazon. Sure, I only get pennies per hour, but every little bit does help. Next month, I'll tell you all about how much Amazon doesn't do, but I don't want to be that negative right now. I want to keep my head up. I want to keep looking toward the horizon and ignoring how crappy Amazon can be right now. And honestly, the folks at Amazon, the people who work there, the delivery drivers,
the people who fill orders,
they're freaking heroes. I mean, during this kind of thing, these people are also risking their lives and their health to bring you Mimiverse DVDs. I mean, some people have ordered them to bring you food and supplies and things you need to keep your wits about you while we all self-quarantine and stay at home. Thank you, people, by the way. Everyone who is doing their part to keep the world running. I cannot express how grateful I am to you for these things. So, thank you. You're lifesavers. Some of you absolutely, quite literally. That's all I got for this month. We'll keep on keeping on. Thank you for all those fine folks who have been reaching out to me and checking in on us. It's been really nice to hear from some of you folks who are just some of you who, I don't know if I've ever really even talked to you, but, you know, getting emails and messages, just sort of checking in to make sure we're okay. I appreciate that. We're doing okay. Thank you. Before I go, as I always say, be good. But if you can't do that, well, be good at it. But still, be good. I'll talk to you again next month. But before we sign off completely, Dr. Bob Tesla of Midnight Monster Movies with Dr. Bob would like to tell you a joke. Take it easy, everybody.
It is I, Dr. Bob Tesla, with your Mimiverse Joke of the Month. There were some people who were wanting to know, how can you tell the gender of an insect such as an ant? So they went to an entomologist. And, you know, this was a scientist who specialized in ants. And they said, okay, how can you tell if it's a male or a female ant? And the entomologist said, well, it comes down to how they react to water. If you put an ant in water and it sinks, then it's a girl ant. If you put an ant in water and he floats, then he is, well, I don't have to say the rest. I bet you guys thought I was going to go with even the uncles are ants joke, but I didn't. I held back. I went with the boy ant joke. What do you expect from me? I'm trapped in the lab. We can't leave. We're under lockdown. This is the best I can come up with right now. However, this might not stop us from doing a show on April 11th. Hopefully. Right now, guidelines are a little questionable when it comes to theaters of our size. We're hoping to still have our show April 11th, the day before Easter. We will be having a mystery animated movie. Which movie is it going to be? Well, I won't say exactly which one, but it'll be a dark night. So we might have to wear a mask. Also, bad news, our RavenCon shows have been canceled for the year thanks to this COVID-19 virus. Also, I want to go on record that I had nothing to do with the COVID-19 virus. We'll see you next month. Until then, science and wash your hands.